Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the Unknown Zone. This is the talk show about the unusual. I'm your host, Dave Turco, with co-host Judy Sellens and our monthly guest, Mr. Gary McKinstry. He is an internationally known psychic medium and tarot reader. He'll be with us for the entire hour. And you can call up and have a free reading with Gary if you'd like, and we'd like it for you to call in. Our guest call-in number is 347-637-2956. And we'd be happy to take your call, and Gary could give you a reading, let you know what's going on with your life from the other side. Good morning, guys.
Hello.
Good morning.
Happy 4th of July. One day late, but hey.
It's close enough.
It sure is. I was feeling like I've never been the patriotic type of person, but it seems like, in spite of everything, there's more patriotism this year. It seemed to me, that was the vibe I was getting.
You had the right vibe. I don't know if it's patriotism or people wanting to celebrate patriotism.
Oh, yeah, something like that. Right.
You know,
they were sure out here with firecrackers and all kinds of stuff.
We never, ever had so many. Our town doesn't do anything because we're like a Catholic town. We do Our Lady of Mount Carmel, which was our big thing later in the month. But I've never had so much fireworks throughout town, Judy. You could see them everywhere. I mean, big ones. It was absolutely amazing.
Yeah, the guy across the street was setting off some big bombs out there. Somebody was setting them off quite a few. I thought they might have been down near the park.
I think there were some in that area. There were some just up from me, but right across the street and down a couple. You know, I had to go out. I was like, what the heck is going on out here? Because I could see it. And right in their front yard, 10 feet from, you know, Route 3, they were launching them. They must have gotten a permit for it because people were beeping their horns when they're going by, you know, in a good way. I mean, it was impressive.
Up here you'd never know they were illegal.
Right. Exactly. Well, they were just all over the place, and that's rare because it is illegal unless you get a permit. And, of course, with the way regulations are, that's a big deal. They don't just give them out. And so it's kind of amazing, but I just felt like there's this a much bigger celebration than normal because, again, we live in this tourist town, so it's all about the beach. And for once, it didn't – I mean, we have mega beach traffic because the weather for once was phenomenal, very much beach weather. But, no, it was different, very, very different, I thought.
You know, you're right, and I caught a couple things on TV for a few minutes, New York, and then I saw Washington. Boston, they actually – televised Boston on the Bloomberg network.
Right.
Normally it was on like regular networks, but Bloomberg bought it, I guess. So not many people saw that, but in years past,
I was looking around and I couldn't find anything at 12 o'clock with fireworks or anything like that.
Well,
I figured maybe around that time they would have more. I didn't see anything.
We always look forward to watching the Boston Pops.
Yeah,
and like, because Bloomberg took it over, we couldn't see it. I couldn't even stream it live on the web, which is normally what I would do if I couldn't get on like CBS or it used to be on A&E, and everybody saw it was the best one. They are the best fireworks. The whole and you know the Boston Symphony or Boston Pops, it just top notch, the best. But we weren't allowed to see it.
You know who did a really good one? I don't know if you guys have ever watched Deadliest Catch.
They
had a massive fireworks because this Jonathan, who's got this big, big boat, his grandfather was part of the of the battle that went on there the same day as Pearl Harbor. They bombed that small fishing port.
Oh.
And then they took over the Aleutian Islands, the Japanese.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right. They did, yeah.
And so his grandfather was one of those who was what they called the cutthroats, who went in ahead of the military in order to be able to tell the military where those guys, the Japanese, were and how many were there and everything. They went in like scouts. And so he was very proud of that. And so he had like $4,000 worth of fireworks. Some of them were gigantic bombs, and the finale of it was gorgeous. He hired this person to come in and show him how to run it and everything. And it was all in honor of those guys, because he said they never, ever get mentioned when Pearl Harbor's mentioned. They never mentioned those guys. There were like 55 guys that were blown up with one of the bombs.
Right.
And he said, they never even mentioned them. So this year he wanted to mention them and remember them. And so, yeah, it was quite a spectacular event, because he had some tremendous fireworks out there.
Yeah,
so I did get to see that.
Yeah. Yeah, I've noticed history kind of like, we seem to drop certain things out for some reason.
Oh, yeah.
You know, telling me, I had to go with, it's a sidebar, so we're really not going to cover that.
But. Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. Until you mentioned it, I totally have forgotten that. I do remember it when you say that. Yeah, for some reason, that's been erased from the ledger. But, you know, that kind of sparked my mind. Because when you hear that, it's like, think of how insane that is. You know, the Japanese taking over the Aleutian Islands, but it's all part of the master plan back then. But how little times change. And just what is your vibe? What are you picking up as far as the real, not real, legit threat from North Korea? Because speaking of Alaska, they just tested an ICBM, which supposedly could reach Alaska. So there you go.
I think he'd do it. Personally, I think he'd do it if he could. He's got to know that if they ever did something like that, we'd erase them.
Yeah, but the whole thing is leverage, because he wants to unify South Korea. So.
Oh, yeah.
If he gets enough leverage and says, I could do this and I could do that, basically he figures he'll get a free pass and, you know, he can move back into South Korea. And they believe that South Korea wants to be reunified with him.
Wow. It comes down to China. They don't want to get in the middle of it, because they don't want all those people going over the border into China.
Right. China, if you'll notice, is pretty much said, well, we don't have any control over him. In which they do, because almost everything that goes into North Korea comes from China.
That's right.
Yeah.
But, you know, do I think he would do something? I think he's crazy enough, you know. Mm-hmm. And by the way, the missile that he has would also reach Seattle or San Francisco.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
So it's not just Alaska. So. You know, if you hit San Francisco, let's say, if you hit Seattle, you hit anywhere on that eastern coast, it would be interesting what would happen. I think it would probably be a char spot where North Korea used to be.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, let's hope he's not that crazy. I kind of like the world in one piece. You know.
Yeah. Well, you just can't, you know, when people get to be dictators in the way that he is, you can't trust them, because they're crazy enough to be what they are.
Well,
and if they're that insane and he gets irked enough, he's very apt to do it.
Yeah. Well, just like what you're talking about with the Aleutian Islands, and how oddly sometimes, or actually all the time, history decides, or whoever decides, this is important, and that gets all the play and somewhat exaggerated, and other things just sort of get covered over somehow. Of course, our favorite holiday of Columbus Day is the one that makes no sense whatsoever, but hey. Hello. But You know, so a lot of times things were exaggerated as to what the threat was, or things were false flags. Yet there were also sociopaths and psychopaths like Hitler and Mussolini and Hirohito or whatever. This guy is one of the few that actually I'm coming around to think is legit crazy and could do something.
Yeah.
And there does seem to be this escalation. I was just wondering if it seemed, you know, it could happen anytime. And it would be so surreal for something like Seattle or Washington to get blown up. But I guess it's now possible.
Well, it's been a couple of hundred years and nothing has happened. So you got to figure we've America pretty much has been blessed that everything since the War of 1812, there's really been nothing on our shores.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, because we are so far away from everybody. But now, with technology, not so much.
You know, plus the big deal with him now is they're starting. First, they had to build a missile. They've got that. Now they have to miniaturize a lot of things. Because the nuke that they have to do something like that is still a little bit too big for the payload.
Oh.
That's what they're working on now, how to miniaturize it so it's effective but yet small enough to travel.
Interesting.
You know, if you'll notice, I've been keeping up on this.
Well, I mean, it's all over the news and everything as to what's going on. They've been talking, too, about, you know, putting some of this nuclear crap on some of their smaller missiles.
Yeah. They were also talking about our options. We have like four options.
Mm-hmm.
One was to go in and literally take over North Korea, which we don't want to do.
No.
That would be a mess. Option two basically is, of course, the United Nations, which probably won't work. I forget what option three was. And then option four was to take out the leader.
Correct.
Out of all the options, that might be the easiest one to do, you know?
I think they'll just put another crazy person in because that's all they've ever had.
Yeah, this is true. You know,
that's basically what they do if they're run by dictators. They just have another dictator pop up, and there you have it.
Yeah, I have to confess, you know, unlike, say, China, we were taught that in school about all those dynasties. And so, the revolution and all these different things that they've had, you know, same with Russia, India, you know, the major countries you learn about. I have to admit, North Korea, I don't really know the history. There had to be a time where they were pretty much like South Korea or China, I'm assuming.
Until the communist takeover back in the 50s,
mm-hmm.
Right after World War II,
mm-hmm.
Communism swept in, and then it got morphed into its own thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like it's communist slash a dictatorship.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not quite like everybody. Even China has. Whether it's puppet or not, you have the imperial leader, so to speak, but he's still a populist figure. In this case, it's kind of like, no, this is who I am, and that's the way it's going to be. And so they're their own unique thing.
Yeah.
But altogether, probably the scariest thing is they have enough chemical weapons and conventional weapons to take out Seoul, South Korea, which is 26 million people.
Wow.
That would probably be the largest devastation on the planet's ever seen if they do that.
Yeah.
So, but we'll see. Today is Wednesday. It's like, we'll see what happens.
Uh-huh. Okay.
You can't spend every day of your life, you know, basically. Everything is a threat somewhere. You know,
right.
While you're waiting for a nuclear bomb to fall, you can fall off a ladder and break your neck. So
right.
We don't do that.
I'm old enough to have been grammar school in the 60s and been through the training of those drills where we got under the desk pretending
yeah.
it was mm-hmm. like that was going to do something.
I've read stories about that.
Yeah, right.
We did it. We went under the desk.
Oh,
it was
there.
Bizarre.
I remember at the bottom of our school, they had a civil defense fallout shelter, and mm-hmm. they were always proud of the giant tins of crackers that would last for 150 years.
Yeah, we had to go to, they told us, and we looked at the fallout shelter, and it was kind of obviously a scary thing. But yeah, so basically my whole life, the specter of nuclear war, then, you know, it was very palpable as a kid. That was kind of scary. But then you got on with your life and nothing really happened, at least to us. So that's been good. So I'm, for the time being, I'm just happy that I'm on the East Coast, so it's not very likely anything's going to happen here. Although we're next to a sub base. That increases the whole thing again, but whatever.
Well,
you know what?
Bath, Maine, which makes the nuclear cruisers and the Air Force, the aircraft carriers, and you've got Groton. And going down, basically, you've got Newport News, Virginia.
So yep.
We're kind of in an interesting area up here.
Oh, yeah, we are.
We still have that naval supremacy area here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, if in all-out war, the East Coast would be a major target. So that would be kind of scary. There are a couple of different things I wanted to talk about, if we didn't mind.
Oh, go ahead.
And this one thing borders on paranormal but isn't. Have you heard about this person who was born a boy in Oregon? And he wants to become the world's first genderless alien.
No, where'd you hear that one?
Didn't hear it, saw it. It was on the computer.
God.
It was on YouTube. Yeah. He has an agent. He has had 3 major surgeries and 114 procedures. I don't know if he was naturally tall. This kid, I'm telling you, he looks like he's about, I don't know, 7 feet tall, 120 pounds at best, blue hair, kind of, I don't know what you could say for what he looks like. For his job, he is a makeup artist in L.A. That's where he gets his money to pay for all of his things being done to him. He no longer has male or female genitalia. It's pretty wild.
What
and,
is that, just a hose?
Well, I think it's more like a little opening is what I understand. This is the thing. So he said he didn't fit in this boy girl thing. And then with sci-fi, whatever, he's the way aliens were projected onto us as basically kind of like not being male or female. He said he started to relate to that. And so that's what he thinks he is. That's what he wants to be, is the first genderless alien on Earth.
Well, the only problem is, I wonder what the aliens are going to think. You know what I mean? Like, are they going to accept it? And do we have to go through Congress to get him his own bathroom? Uh-oh.
I'm telling you, if you saw this kid, I guess he's probably about 20-ish by now.
Yeah.
I don't even know what to make of it. I mean, I'm praying that he's happy and he wants to be this way for the rest of his life. Because as the doctor said, there's no turning back
right. Once
you've gone to the state he's in. But it's...
How do you get a doctor to do this?
Money.
Money
will buy anything.
Again, we're on the East Coast, Gary. It is unbelievable what a difference is out there in La La Land that with money, I mean, look at Michael Jackson or when he was Michael Jackson. I thought it was crazy how they ended up getting that last doctor, you know, in jail. What about everybody that got him to that point? All those needless surgeries.
Yeah.
It's so wrong. It was so wrong.
I have no problem with the gentleman wanting to become a genderless alien, except for the alien part. You can become a you can become whatever you want, but don't call yourself an alien, because that's not right for the aliens. I feel bad for that.
I mean, how does he know that they're sexless?
He's claiming
know?
he cryptically has alluded to that he's in communion with them.
That's fine. That's lovely then.
Well, you can have people who are born asexual,
yeah,
and they have no sex at all.
Yeah,
and they are confused because they don't know if they should be feeling male or female, and they don't feel anything.
True.
They don't. And there are people who have that problem.
I guess. We have to go by what they're saying to us. It's wild, but see, this is what I was going to get at was, is this just a product of the times, or has this always been and we didn't have the technology to become an alien or a cat or a dog or all these other things people are doing?
I think it's both. You know, people probably have had fantasies forever about wanting to change everything and
right.
wouldn't. And now the technology we have is still pretty crude. You're not changing things on a molecular level. You're not changing the DNA structure. Basically, all you're doing is rearranging body parts.
Yeah, it's cosmetic, mm-hmm. essentially, right?
Yeah, you know, so you can carve an apple, but it's still an apple. And this is kind of the deal, you know. I can understand gender reassignment because there are people that truly have, you know, identity issues, and
right.
that makes sense to me to a great degree. But to say I want to be an alien, unless the aliens are, you know, like sitting there with them going like, okay, son, we'll hold your hand. But just because it's cool, it's, like you said, when he's like 50 years old and sitting there with his little blue skin, how happy will he be?
Right.
You know.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. If you're 35 and healthy and you do this, that's lovely. But, you know, and his alien body is going to change, let's face it, as he gets older.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, the other thing is,
he's going to be a tall, wrinkly alien,
Grandpa,
one of these days.
Grandpa Smurf, yeah.
Well, see, this is, but the problem is, too, again, clearly aliens, and I do know aliens exist, are not genderless because they reproduce as well. So how do they do that? And they're not cloning. Or, I mean, someone might clone, but the ones, they're unique beings as well. They're not cloning them. They're not genderless aliens. This is some sort of fantasy. It's just crazy.
We have animals here right on this earth that are just one sex and they can reproduce.
But they are a sex, though. They do have a gender.
Well,
and they
right.
Can...
But, I mean, they reproduce themselves and they don't need a male to help reproduce them.
Yes,
they're
but...
They're basically females.
Right. But they are female. Where this being wants to be neither, genderless.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just saying... Right on face value. I mean, you should have to go through psychiatry before you get.
Well, when this all originated, they used to have a long period of time where they went, you know, and they did see psychiatry and try to get these people not to mutilate their bodies the way that they were doing. But then now it's gotten to the point where these doctors have kind of won out that if they want to do it and they want to pay for it, we'll do it.
You know,
and that's about where they're at.
To his horror, what if the aliens look exactly like us?
Yeah, wouldn't that be something? I mean, they very well could look just exactly like us.
Yeah, that'd be a bummer. You know, here I am standing here with my little humanoid outfit on and... Come to find out, they look like the neighbor down the street cutting his lawn.
I am convinced there are beings out in our physical 3D universe that look very much like us that could pass for human. Absolutely.
Yeah,
because there's some sort of, there's like a blueprint. There's like a spiritual blueprint. And just like there'd probably be trees on other planets that, you know, sort of look like our trees and grass or something like that or a porcupine, I don't know. The higher level beings, or in dolphins and elephants, it'd be some sort of equivalent on a roughly same sort of planet. Pardon me. And it only makes sense. You're dealing with the same elements. It's one universe here. You know, it's the same periodic chart, no matter where you are in the universe. So,
well, if you stop and think of it, if aliens were the ones who came, and then, you know, according to the Bible and everything else, and you had all these beings come down here, and they interbred with human women,
mm-hmm.
and we're supposed to all be like actual offspring of these beings. Then they would have to look like us, or basically we wouldn't, or even those giants and stuff wouldn't look humanoid. And we know that they looked humanoid because of the skeletal frames that they had.
Mm-hmm.
They absolutely looked like humans. They were just gigantic.
Correct. And then soon we'll get into my next one that I have with Gary. See if you want. If you are aware of this one yet, it's actually really exciting what's going on. But let's go to a call if you don't mind.
Oh, sure.
Sure. Okay, I'll unmute you and bring you on the show. This is a call from area code 401. You're on the air with Gary McKinstry.
Hi, good morning. I was just wondering if Gary was doing any type, if he could offer a reading.
Sure. Is there anything special you're interested in?
Yes. Me and my husband are currently separated. I am going to court on Friday, for support.
Yep.
But besides find out how things will go Friday, I was also, he's in a very toxic relationship, and I want to see if there's any way of him walking out of that relationship. Because he's physically
there is, but
and...
he doesn't want to yet. Go ahead.
He had a heart attack since, and he's really sick.
Yeah. You know, I understand where you're coming from. He's rather, I think you already know, rather stubborn. Because this is almost like, even though he knows the relationship's toxic, even though he knows it's not good, it's almost like he's going to hang on longer than he should. As far as the court part goes, it's going to sound weird, but it's almost like it gets worked out. You know.
Okay.
No one ever walks away totally happy, okay? But there should be enough here so you'll be okay, which is lovely. But beyond that, as far as him leaving the toxic relationship, not yet. He's just not ready because, again, it's almost like proving everything is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't want to be proved wrong yet. So,
in previous readings I had, I said... Yeah, in previous readings that people have told me, he will come back to me, but you'll come back very, very sick. And I'm just so afraid for his life right now.
Yeah, as far as the coming back, that's lovely, but I got to get you taking a look at your life right now. I know you must love the man, evidently, and that's wonderful, but... The question is, in the meantime, we got to get your self-esteem, your ego, we got to get you in a good place. It's wonderful you want to, you know, take care of him, but right now is the time period to rebuild you a bit also. You know, you've been real busy trying to hold down the fort and keep things together. Right now is a time period to be good to yourself, okay?
Okay.
I mean, you can't help him or anybody else unless you take care of you, and right now is a good time to start doing that part. As far as, like, him coming back, he's got a while to go before he decides anything. Because, like I said, right now, he's trying to prove a bunch of things. And do you want him back scared or do you want him back happy, too? That's the question. If he comes back just because he's afraid for his life, so to speak, that's not exactly the ultimate. And if he does come back, I would strongly suggest getting some professional help. And I don't mean for medical.
Definitely.
Yeah. Because he's got several problems going there, okay?
But yes, he does.
Will he ever come back?
He's become an alcoholic. He's financial problems, health problems.
Yeah.
These past 8 months have taken a big toll on him.
Yeah. I mean, I understand, you know, like, again, you're a caretaker, and that's wonderful. But I got to tell you, it's time to take care of you first, okay?
Okay.
So, but you will, the court part will turn out okay. All right?
It will. Okay. Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
Thank you.
There we go.
Yeah, thanks for calling.
The things we put ourselves through.
Well,
I
was going to say before we take that call, you know, to the, when we were talking about the alien in waiting there, you know, God bless him. If that is his path, then, you know, far be it for me to criticize it. And for the caller, you know, I'm thinking to myself, oh, my goodness, why would you want to put yourself through this? But we all have interesting paths. If somebody looked at my life, or let alone Judith's life, oh, my gosh, we've been through torture. But, yeah, we all have our own paths, and there's many reasons behind it.
Oh, I would never tell anybody that there's no such – I don't believe that there's wrong.
Right. Exactly.
Sometimes I look at it and wonder, like, why? But I can't. Again, that's the person's personal preference. That's,
yeah, exactly.
You know. By the way, in order to be a good reader, you have to put your own stuff on the side.
Exactly.
You know, I see that a lot in young readers when they start out. They inflict their thoughts or their morals on somebody, left or right.
Right,
and
right.
The deal of it is you got to get out of the way for the reading. You know, you could, like that, the young lady I just read for, as I mentioned, I could basically advise that if you get back together, get professional help to, you know, see if you can get things going.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not up to me to make sure it happens.
Right.
Anyway.
Good point. Excellent. And God bless them both.
Yeah.
Sounds kind of difficult, but it's obviously their path. So... Anyway, you know when Judith, I think we've got another call. Brilliant stuff. Because I was afraid being on a Wednesday, not on a Tuesday, people wouldn't know we were on and blah, blah, blah. We'll pick it up and see what happens. Okay, caller. I've got area code 314. You're on the air with Gary McKinsey.
Good morning.
Yes,
hi.
How
are
you doing? Good morning.
What am I looking at for you, young man?
I guess just kind of tell me what you see. Do you need a birthday or anything?
Nope, don't need a birthday. Just need to, like, let it rip and see where we go, okay? Ending of a cycle around you, it's kind of like times are supposed to change rapidly. We're going from one part of life into another. This is get rid of the old ideas, the old stuff, get ready for the new. Do understand that when new comes in, sometimes it can make you feel a little confused. Like, if nothing happens, everything goes along, everything's fine. But even positive change can be a little disconcerting on occasion. So expect that part. You know, things will be okay. And do not reminisce a whole bunch about past events. Now's the time to look towards what's coming, not what's been. You know, we've all done things in our life, or we've all made a mistake here and there, and you can sit forever and look at them. But I'm looking at, like, okay, let's go towards the future because it looks like things should be changing. You want to be bumping heads with a strong female figure over what, I don't know. We're bumping heads there. And ultimately, it's time to reunite or reunify with someone a bit younger. So I'm taking this probably either as a family member or a friend, but it's time to reunite with someone, put past stuff aside, and go forward. That's what I can tell you in, like, 3.2 minutes.
Okay? All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
You too.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks for calling in. And for anybody else who'd like a reading with Gary, our number here is 347-637-2956.
All
right, wait a minute. Now, I have a question for Gary. This might sound kind of funny, but...
I love funny. Go ahead.
I think I have somebody who's been getting more and more interested in me.
Yeah.
And yeah, the thing of it is, I mean, he's a younger man. Not like I haven't had younger male friends before, but he's a younger guy. He had to ask me about what the problems that I've had and everything, and doesn't seem to really faze him. And just
sorry.
It really doesn't. I mean, he seems to be, it's like, you know, well, we all have our issues, we all have our problems, and
uh-huh.
and it's just that whenever I have been near him or anything, and we've had talks or something, he seems to get that really close. When I get near him, you get these vibes off of him.
Sure.
And I think he's really interested, and I'm wondering, you know, where that's going to go to.
It's going to go as far as you let it. He'll go farther if you let him.
Oh my God.
Well, I don't mean it in a bad way. So don't get all geeky, David. But it's kind of one of those deals where, you know. By the way, he is looking for permission to go forward. I'll explain. He's not going to do anything weird or rash. He is nice. Is there some interest there? Yes, he actually, God, he just likes you, okay?
Yeah.
And there's nothing really wrong with it, you know? I understand between medical issues and everything else, you might be a little reluctant to say, okay, hey, this is cool, but I don't see the harm in it. It looks nice. Okay?
Judith, I remember when you rejected that poor guy from Macedonia who loved you.
Well, yeah, but...
What?
Oh, from Macedonia. He was trying to get a green card to get in the United States. That's a little bit of a difference. This guy's an American.
Oh, crap.
Yeah. Hello.
You mean it wasn't
Hello,
true
baby.
Love?
Green card.
I love you. And then it's like, oh, give me a break. I've had three of those guys.
Oh, see that? You had me four.
I had an Egyptian. And they were madly in love with me. They come through on that stupid Facebook, and they're all madly in love with you. What they're trying to do is get some of these older women to just start sending them money.
Oh.
They ain't getting any from me, so that's that.
When
I get near this guy, it's like you almost feel like he just really like to you know, get closer, and yet he tends to be holding back a little bit.
Well, he's a gentleman.
Well, I think he's waiting for the vibe from you. You know, it's kind of like he doesn't know how far forward to go without crossing the line, okay?
And that's the kind of feeling, because he is younger, although, like I said, you know, I've had other people that were younger that we were, you know, we became close friends first.
How much younger, Judy?
I'm not going into that.
Oh, my.
But it's like I feel like, man, I don't know, I just kind of feel like, you know, when they say people, women are cougars and all that kind of stuff, and then I got to thinking, well, who cares?
Yeah, thank you. How many times are we going around in this life, okay? And if someone's interested in it...
Well, that's a loaded question right there.
Well, okay, let's put it this way. If both sides are happy, who cares about the rest of the world?
Yeah. Well, I just had to ask that one because it's like, it seems like every time I've seen this person, it seems to be, you know, a little bit closer. And the, you know, the last time we sat and talked and stuff like that, he was pretty close.
So in other words, if this man's listening, it's okay for us to say it's a go?
Yeah, he's Twitter-pated.
He's Twitter-pated. Yeah, well.
I'm excited for you.
I've had the Twitter-pated ones, and I've had the real serious ones and over the years.
Look, the man's old enough to know that he likes you, and that's a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
You know what? I might not be psychic on Gary's level, but one weird thing that does happen to me is I get songs in my head. And when you were talking, when you were first talking, I got the old, and I always love this song, by, what's his name? The Partridge Family, David Cassidy or something like that. I think I love
you.
My
God, that's old.
Don't you remember that song? I think I love you. I'm serious. And then you started talking.
That love, I mean, that's good.
No, this is where we're at, Gary. It's love.
Muskrat love.
Who knows? Maybe it'll keep me. It would keep me going for another 10 years.
Yeah.
I am psyched.
Let him.
But yeah, I mean, some of my really closest friends have been younger male friends that have, you know, and I've known
them
for like almost 20 years. After a while, and we're still very close friends.
Yeah.
You know.
Let him lead. You just follow. Okay.
All right. It's like dancing.
Oh my!
It's like that song, David. I could have missed. What was it? I could have missed the. Oh, I can't. But I would have missed the dance.
Right.
That
right.
song.
Yeah, I know.
Well, missed the dance.
No, your wedding theme song, and I have to. You know, I might even have to sing it. Who knows? Is that David Cassidy song? I think I love you. It came right into my head, so it's got to be.
The second song will be Muskrat Love, I think.
By Gary McKinstry.
Oh, God.
That's what that would be.
Sam.
Brilliant. Oh, God, help me. Okay.
We're showing our age here. David Cassidy and the Captain and Tennille.
Oh, that's what I'm saying, yeah.
Did you hear that poor David Cassidy has dementia?
Yeah, and he's in
yeah.
Poor guy. And I guess it's quite rapid onset. Not good. So I would have to sing it, I guess.
We'll see what we can do. Maybe I can get a David Cassidy in person.
Yeah, it would be way better than me. I have the world's... I'm tone deaf, and unfortunately, but whatever.
I'm sure out there somewhere is a David Cassidy impersonator. I mean,
yeah. Yeah, Judith, we'll all go out to Las Vegas, tie the knot, and we'll have that's where all the impersonators are.
Right. We'll find a genderless alien to sing it.
Why do I think that would be appropriate? Wow. That
it would probably fit in with the situation.
Oh, man.
Thank God this is not serious radio.
Yeah, I know.
Well, anyway. Things were maybe even crazier a couple thousand years ago, or 1800 years ago on the planet. There's been a finding. You know Gaia TV, or Gaia something, or I think it's called Gaia.
Sure.
Yeah. They've been putting out these teasers all year long, and it seems to be legit, about these Nazca mummies.
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
I've seen some of the stuff on it.
This is really cool. They have sent these mummies, some of them anyway, to real labs in St. Petersburg, Russia, in University of Colorado, their School of Medicine. They're a radiologist. It was sent to a radiologist, diagnostician, to look at this stuff. One of them is a female, mummified female. They're sort of in a crouched position. So think of knees to chest sort of thing and arms wrapped around. But unlike Egyptian mummies, their internal organs were intact. And apparently seems to be largely human except for a couple of weird things, which would be three fingers, super long, and instead of just six hands or what, carpals? Yeah, carpals and tarsals. So carpals, six, three, like humans, they're six. They're super long. And their arms go, you know, much further down, like another foot than, you know, full length. And their feet are also super long with three toes. The mummies were covered with some white material that has yet to be determined what exactly it is. They're trying to do they have extracted DNA, and that's still underway. They weren't found exactly where the Nazca lines are, but they were found in a cave/tomb. And this seems to be legit at this point. A doctor, Mary Jesse, J-E-S-S-E, at the University of Colorado, who doesn't believe in, you know, foo-foo, woo-woo,
right.
thought for sure she'd be able to at least debunk it and say, you know, this is some kind of clever thing that some grad student glued together. She said, no, you know, with their equipment, they see into everything and it's an intact being. And she can't figure out what this thing is. You know, humanoid for sure. Its head is elongated, not quite as extreme as some of the ones we've seen down there, but definitely more elongated. No ears. I should say no ears, just a tiny little hole for the ears. I don't know. It seems to be wild stuff because usually stuff like that, sort of like what we were talking about with the Aleutian Islands in that part of World War II, that sort of got erased from ledger. I have this joke about, you know, the Raiders of the Lost Ark. And then there's that, you know, that he comes and brings it to Washington and they just stick it in that warehouse with all the other. Yeah. You know, got it. So usually these things are just put on the shelf and hidden away, even though they're totally legit. But this one seems to be getting out there.
Well, chance puts me in interesting places. And recently I happened to be with a gentleman who was a professor at UMass for years and years. He's 92 years old, okay? And we sat and had a long chat about forbidden history.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about the battle for civilization between the giants.
Yes.
And what we would call the regular humanoids.
Okay, we've done this many times on the show. Yeah, go ahead.
And as he put it, he said, the proof is there. We have it everywhere. We've had it for years. But as you said, it all disappears because it would make man feel inferior.
But we won.
Yeah, but we'd still feel inferior because there was a race of giants.
So that's... Well,
according to him, one of the last ones was still here back in the 50s and 60s.
Really? That recent?
Yeah. He said, you know, I'll use the term, the breed pretty much died out.
Yeah.
But one of the last that they came across was like in 1965, so to speak. Rather uneducated, rather nasty, pretty much lived by himself, and had to be taken down by force.
Oh.
Which is sad, you know. But they couldn't leave him where he was because evidently he was bothering people. But he said, you know, one of the last descendants went as recently as the 60s.
Was that here in the U.S.?
Yeah. It was here in the southern U.S. Appalachian region.
Oh, that's sad.
You know, I mean, it was pretty, but by the way, for 92, this gentleman was with it too. Okay. He wasn't, this was not a demented state. I mean, we sat and really had a nice chat. You know, we talked about many things. We talked about the Black Knight satellite. We talked about.
Mm-hmm. But, oh, he knew about that?
Oh, sure.
Love it.
You know, like you said, it's been around forever. Tesla picked it up. You know, so yeah, he knew about a lot of stuff.
Let alone the moon being hollow and everything else. You know, I've been having this weird thing about the moon lately, but the Black Knight satellite, how can that be denied?
Right.
It can't be denied. There it is.
Well, they said it's space junk, but according to what there is, the space junk would have had to been there before we had stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It was before we could do anything up there. Come on.
But anyway, to get through all of this stuff, when you talk about the NASCAR mummies, you'll find basically, I think you'll find humans and then you'll find humanoid. And it's pretty much a side-by-side grouping.
Okay, but Earth, a terrestrial humanoids as opposed to alien, would you
correct.
Say? Yeah. Agreed.
You know, it's kind of like another homily or another link to what we are and were.
Mm-hmm.
You know, man's pretty good at destroying anything that doesn't connect the same.
Well, did you ever have your DNA done, Gary?
No, I haven't yet.
Okay. I, you know, like anybody who's of European stock, I'm like 3%. I'm a little bit on the high end, I think, of Neanderthal.
Yep.
I also have... A oddly, well, this is something that's really kind of weird. I did both the National Geographic DNA testing, and I also did 23andMe. The National Geographic does ancient DNA, basically, your haplogroups, from a guy that can get both the M and the Y chromosome. The thing is, or I should say mitochondrial DNA and the Y chromosome. And where they're from in the ancient journey. So that is kind of interesting. And it also gives you, if you have any, a Neanderthal and Denisovan. Okay. The amount of Denisovan I had to contact them. I don't know if I ever told you this.
No.
Okay. I contacted them because you read like this whole blurb. It's very scientific. And the only people, even though that those Denisovans were found in a cave in Russia, modern-day Russia, the only people that actually have any amount of that DNA worth anything are the native people of the Philippines and I'm not sure if the Aborigines in Australia, but the people of New Guinea, right?
Yeah.
And in Melanesia. Okay. So... yours truly, my mother had zero, which made sense. Not me. I was up around 3%, which would indicate my father had what, 6%? And even my 3% put me in the category of these people in like New Guinea. And so they just said, all they could tell me was, well, that's experimental, and we don't know, and this can mean anything. No, you don't. The way this is actually done is so super cool. It's done by nanobots, the DNA mapping.
Yep.
So it's really done, you could call it robotically. It's like Gary, when you're a psychic, you just put your prejudices or whatever, yourself, your ego, out of the thing and let information and truth come in, right? The same sort of deal. They don't even take your name. You know, they just do this stuff. And when I did 23andMe, you know, I got the exact same haplogroups, so I knew that was correct. And did my breakdown. I'm primarily British-Irish. It was less Italian than I thought. I'm 12% Middle Eastern, as it turns out, which is kind of weird. But I had this Melanesia. It was less than 1%, but it came up. And I said, okay, well, that makes sense. Melanesia is like the Solomon Islands. It's right near New Guinea and those sort of people. And when I looked them up, they are different from the Polynesians, which is quite interesting. They're more like the primitive, like the Bushmen of the Kalahari, that type of thing.
Yeah.
Somehow I have this in me.
Somebody took a long weekend.
Yeah, well, long. All I could think of is there had to be a missionary in my family or something.
All
or a sailor.
Yeah.
Something like
somebody,
that.
When you mentioned the Kalahari, it could have been a slave. Who knows? Somewhere in your line, somebody crossed.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So it's real interesting. But at least, you know, that sort of corroborated... that sort of thing. But the fact of the matter is, I have, now, this is by way of reference, in Virginia, if you had 7% or more, say if you were presented to totally, quote unquote, white, but if they could prove you had at least 7% black, you were a, quote unquote,
black.
Right.
Okay. If you total my non-human DNA...
I mean, I've been talking to a non-human all these years.
I beat that kid. Except I do have a gender. But I'm like, by that standard, by the amount of Neanderthal and Denisovan, I'm going to put my other thing as human for sure. But I don't know. I mean, what does it mean? It doesn't change who I am. I think I'm human. I mean, I know I'm kind of different, but...
Huh? You were a bad experiment.
Well, you know, there's my whole UFO... I mean, not UFO. Yeah, I'm a big UFO bug, but I am one of those people, as you know, Gary, that has had you know, I'm not going to say abducted, but I have had contact with the Grays, and they fiddled with me. Another psychic has said it has to do with my DNA. I don't know.
Larry dropped the test tube. Yeah, no. I think we're all experiments. We're all interwoven.
Yeah.
And you know, it just depends who got what, and you know, And as far as the Neanderthal part, that's pretty cool. You know, I mean, I know they just didn't disappear off the face of the earth.
That's right.
No.
I mean, theoretically, they should be able to backbreed through us, you know?
Yeah.
We've got several percent Neanderthal, and because, put it to you this way, with 23andMe, if we only share around 3% DNA with each other, we would be second cousins. That's how close that actually is.
Yeah.
So, and then same with Dennis Oven for me. And those were supposedly last seen on Earth, what, 20,000 years ago or something?
Yeah.
And yet I have that much in me? It's weird. But I do, so whatever.
The genetic code is a survivor, no matter what. You know, somewhere along the line it pops again. And I think it could almost be latent in people unless for some reason, you know, it's there. You know, it's kind of like always when you people talk about activating their 22nd strand.
Right.
You know, it's there, but a lot of things are not active. A lot of things are not happening. The traits are there, but they're all latent. And in your case, you know, it's kind of like all of a sudden you find out they're there, and, you know, what I don't want to say what does it mean. Like you can say you are, for all intents and purposes, human. You know, you're like everybody else. But yet there is a distinct difference between all of us when it comes to this point, you know, who, what, where, and when.
Right.
As far as the how, basically, like I said, there's a million variables that could be.
Yeah.
You know, people swapped. Human life was different at one point. People were swapped, traded, and kind of like herded like cattle.
Correct.
You know, so you don't know where that would come from. It's interesting, definitely interesting. You know, and I'm sure if you break it down, you'll find out, you know, like with the Neanderthal traits, they were pretty good survivors.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you haven't had a chance to use these survival skills as much as some people, but I think you find you may have more of them than you think.
Yeah, it's entirely possible. I think it explains certain things about me for sure, but I was in that vein. I'm wondering how many humans have some level of giant DNA in us.
I'm sure we...
They have to be interbreeding. That's what beings do.
Well, according to the good doctor I was speaking to, the battle itself went between the giants and the Sumerians.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That would be about right, yeah.
Yeah, the last battle. And according to him, there were advanced weapons used. That's why everything... Everything that was at one point seems wiped out, which makes sense.
Granted, but the Sumerians, but how would that affect the, how did the giants then get over to North America?
They weren't just in one place.
All right.
They were a predominant race at the time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, as we've covered on this show, I know we're winding down, but one last thing. Yeah, it was pictures of giants and giant bones. Were found. You could see them in the Smithsonian and New York Times in the 1800s. And now they did not. You can't even find those copies now, but there are pictures of them. But,
well, kids, as usual, it's been, you're always interesting.
We sure are.
It's different anyway, kid.
I know August I won't be here, but I'll be back in September.
Right.
So
yeah.
Enjoy the balance of summer.
And wedding bells
yeah,
may be ringing.
Right.
You too.
I'll be brushing up on, you know, I think I love you and muskrat love for the rest of the summer.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Me too. We're
going
to duet. I love it. Thanks, Gary.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Talk to you later. All right. Bye-bye.
Take care. Well, now that my fingers have gone dead holding on to the phone, I can't bend them. Anyway, I hope everybody has a great week, and we will be back next week.
We sure will. Thanks, Judy.
Bye-bye.
Bye for Gary McKinstry and Judy Song. I'm Dave Turco and the Unknown Song. See you next week.